From NPR News, this is News in No Time, Ed Gordon. African Americans made up two-thirds of New Orleans before Katrina. Housing and Urban Development Secretary Alfonso Jackson now warns that the new New Orleans could cut the black population in half. Many say the city once again is flooded, this time by developers and billions of dollars in federal money. But some displaced residents and black leaders are wondering how to keep this kind of big money from forever changing the face of the Big Easy. Joining us now are Beverly Wright, sociologist and founding director of the Deep South Center for Environmental Justice at Dillard University in New Orleans, and from our Washington, D.C. studios, Robert Woodson, founder and president of the National Center for Neighborhood Enterprise. I thank you both for joining us. Greatly appreciate it. Bob Woodson, let me start with you. I think it's important to note here that oftentimes we're speaking of this in semantics. Isn't it really not so much the racial makeup of a city, particularly if there are blacks who choose not to come back, but the divvying up of resource and opportunity that should really be the key here?
I really do. Also, I don't think that we should, our decision should be made based upon race, politics, or even culture of and tradition. We need to be pragmatic and determine what is best for the welfare of the people suffering the problem, and that resources that are assigned to reconstruct the city, the people suffering the problem must play a role in its reconstruction and benefit from the jobs and whatever money is spent.
Beverly Wright, the important part here is the idea, and we'll get into it, heard so much about making sure that African Americans reap in the recovery benefit, and also those who choose to come back to this city are given a better lot in life than they had pre-Katrina.
I certainly believe that is should be our focus, but I have to tell you that doing what is best for the people who left and being concerned about their welfare is directly connected to race. The majority of people who will not be able to return or who cannot return, and I'm included in that number, are African American. The areas of the city that were completely wiped out were areas where the majority of people were African American. New Orleans East is about 98% African American, and so is the Lower Ninth Ward. These two areas are the two areas that are most threatened. Are not returning. The working black working class and the black middle and upper middle and professional classes of the city are the people who will not be there. And so if you're talking about a political reality, the political reality is certainly tied to our future. Without having in place persons who are sensitive to our needs, we will not be able to do what we need to do for those of us who are less fortunate and who want to return to the city. And I'm speaking as a lifelong New Orleans resident. We love
Bob Woodson,
New Orleans, and we want to return.
But Bob Woodson, Beverly Wright brings up an interesting point and pick up on this, but it is the idea that for those who choose not to return, it's one thing. But for those who want to return and do not have the ability to, we should also make sure that a way is made clear.
I agree with you, but that should not include the rebuilding of the Ninth Ward. I think that, and that's the really issue here. Russell Henderson, a liberal veteran community organizer, has formed the Rebuilding Louisiana Coalition. He says, and I quote, "If you put people back in there, they're going to die. But the scrapping of way of the Lower Ninth Ward should be a delicate equation." Also, Craig Colton, a geography professor at Louisiana State University, said, quote, "I realize it will be an insult to former residents, but it would be far bigger insult to put them back in harm's way." So whatever we do, the political consideration, the racial consideration, should not determine whether or not people are put in harm's way. And I think too often politicians and many civil rights leaders put those kind of issues ahead of the practical condition facing low-income people.
Well,
Beverly Wright, we're not talking about necessarily putting them back in the Ninth Ward as we knew it, correct?
We're not talking about putting them back in the Ninth Ward in the way that we knew it, but we are talking about building the levees in a way that people will be protected and making certain that the areas cleaned up. You know, I've worked in the field of environmental justice for the last 15 years, and I have watched majority communities get the best possible cleanup while they give minorities and the poor the cheapest cleanup, which is what happened at Agriculture Street Landfill. And these people who are making these decisions about what should not be done in the Ninth Ward are not including the citizens who live there. I don't hear anyone saying we should move everyone from California, or that we shouldn't have rebuilt Chicago when it burned down, or that the people who live on the Florida coast that's bombarded by hurricanes every year should not be rebuilt. Why is it all of a sudden no one's talking about how to return people to their land, cleaning it up, making it safer? They're only talking about what we shouldn't do and we shouldn't put people in harm's way. Until the people themselves have a chance, you know, to talk about what the possibilities are, just how contaminated is the Lower Ninth Ward. We've not gotten any of that information yet. We know the levees are weak, but I have to ask the question, why weren't the levees in the Lower Ninth Ward made as strong as the levees for Lakeside around the University of New Orleans, where mostly wealthy white people live?
That's Bob Woodson, you know better than most the idea that there are many, and let's not soften the blow here, many predators are sitting around this area, many of them sitting in Baton Rouge right now, determining how to make a great deal of money, and to some degree, many see them as carpetbaggers who will indeed displace African Americans, not just those who are trying to come back home, but those who would want to, in the American way, reap in the economic benefit of rebuilding this city.
I agree, but if you look at it through a racial prism, then you'll ignore those black carpetbaggers who will exploit their own people for their own selfish gain, and that's what I'm concerned about. There needs to be a common standard that we use for when we're determining who it comes to the table, and if you put race there, You will assume that if somebody is black and at the table to rebuild, then that automatically assumes that they are going to be more just and more fair. And that's what I'm concerned about. Many of those problems we're talking about have developed under black leadership of these cities for the past 20 years. Why aren't we talking about what responsibility do those that we've elected as a consequence of civil rights gains? What obligations and responsibilities have they had over the past 20 years of bringing the interests of low-income blacks to the table?
It is true that we have had black leadership, but we have not had black economic power. And certainly in the city of New Orleans, although we've had black mayors for many years, we have been fighting the economic structure of that city under all of those mayors for all of those years. We have not been able to pry it loose from them. Yes, there are a few black predators, and I will tell you just a few, because if you look at the number of black millionaires compared to white millionaires, the number is minuscule. And so I'm not even ready to talk about those few who have been predators to their own community. Believe me, we are dealing with them. But I am just appalled at how people can make these decisions without including the people of the Lower Ninth Ward or the people of New Orleans East. We want to have a voice in this. We want the scientists. We have scientists as well. We have the NRDC. We have our HBCUs with chemists and epidemiologists and toxicologists. We want all of those people brought to the table. And
just a fair representation across the board.
And I'll believe it.
Bob Woodson, let me ask you, Bruce Gordon, head of the NAACP and chairman of the CBC, Mel Watt, have issued a bill of rights for displaced residents. They're calling for the federal government to spare no expense in returning these folks home, giving them a fresh start. Many people are suggesting that all of this needs some oversight, perhaps by an outside entity. Do you buy that?
I really do. The very fact that the New Orleans mayor has appointed a commission to oversee the reconstruction, and I would ask your guest, Beverly, whether or not the mayor's commission reflects the kind of values and inclusion that you're talking about. And if not, why not? I mean, so that we really need to hold all of these elected officials accountable to include people suffering the problem.
Beverly?
Yes. I haven't had a chance to really look at the commission in depth, but I can tell you this, that on the ground now we are working to make certain that people are included. Through my center, we are beginning to convene meetings of grassroots leaders and community representatives. We're working with the Legislative Black Caucus and our city council people. We have we're on tomorrow, which is Tuesday. They'll have an environmental briefing from members of NRDC and other health officials so that they can make proper choices. There are meetings being held on the Capitol every Wednesday where citizens of New Orleans show up to have questions and to confer. And these meetings are occurring in Houston, Texas, with our African American Leadership Project members, which is a cross-section of the people in our community representing our black churches, our NAACP, the Urban League, the black Muslims. All of those people are included. What I want people to know is that people from New Orleans are not sitting on the sidelines, not making note of all of these things that are going on, and we are organizing. We intend to be included. Yeah. We intend to have a voice.
All right, Beverly Wright, sociologist and founding director of the Deep South Center for Environmental Justice at Dillard University in New Orleans, and Robert Woodson, founder and president of the National Center for Neighborhood Enterprise. I thank you both for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thank you.